With me to Luke chapter 10.
Thank you, Juan. Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 38 to verse 42. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture for this time of year. Fits perfectly. I hope that you will stay in tune with its teaching. Follow along as I read. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh God, our Father, I pray that we can glean from this passage principles and truths that we can practice as we enter into a very, very busy Christmas season. That we do not look beyond the reason for this season to be happy and full of joy. May we learn today from the example of Mary how to have a merry little Christmas. Help me, help all of us, that we could truly receive of your Holy Spirit that which you desire your church and your people to have. May we not crowd out Christ with tinsel. May we not crowd out Christ with commercialism. Bless our hearts with your word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this happened a while back, but it is an absolutely true story. About 30 years ago, a dear lady entered into a Häagen-Dazs ice cream store in a Kansas City plaza for her favorite ice cream. And while she was ordering, a customer entered the store. She placed her order, and she turned around, and she found herself face to face with the actor Paul Newman. He was in town filming a movie, and she was completely enamored and focused on his every move. She entered into a conversation. Finally, she made her way out of the ice cream shop. She didn't have her Häagen-Dazs ice cream cone. So she turned back to go into the store, and as she did, out came actor Paul Newman. He turned to her and he said, ma'am, are you looking for your ice cream cone? She said, yes, Mr. Newman, I don't seem to know where I put it. He said, ma'am, you put it in your pocketbook along with your change. Well, what happened to that dear lady is she was focused on the personality, the actor, Paul Newman. Ice cream you can get any time. But to have a visit with Paul Newman, well, that was something special. And I do believe that is at the core of what happened here with Mary. Jesus came to visit. Wow. Could we ask for a greater celebrity? No. Jesus had come to the home of Mary and Martha, and she was focused on him. No greater person ever lived. And I think there's a lot that we can glean from this little passage that I always think is a help to put this season in perspective. That Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. We lose sight of that. Even as a country, we have lost sight of the fact that our forefathers declared December 25th as a federal holiday to observe the birthday of Jesus Christ. Just as we observe the birthday of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, we observe the birthday of a real person who lived, who died, and rose again from the dead. How dare we be ashamed to say that? The federal government acknowledges it, although I believe probably more than half of those don't want to, but it is a federal holiday. It's a shame that our town can't put Merry Christmas up in Boys Park. Now, it's a beautiful display, and I give a lot of credit for how nice it is, but according to the federal government of the United States, it is Christmas. And if the federal government says it's Christmas, why are we ashamed to say Merry Christmas? It is the birthday of Jesus Christ. It is sad because we have taken our attention off of the person and on to the culture. This time of the year, we get very busy. Lots to be done. And that was the nature of Martha in the passage. Martha was busy about maybe cleaning and setting the table and doing other things besides preparing the meal. She got all caught up in that instead of being caught up with the person who was visiting. And we do the same thing. The holiday is approaching. There needs to be the decorations. When I think about that, the first thing that has to be done is the husbands have to get to that honey-do list, right? Honey, go up in the attic and get the decorations. I gotta go up there and you gotta get the cobwebs out of the way. And then you gotta find them, and then you find them and you stick your head right in a cobweb. And you gotta bring those boxes down one by one. You gotta be careful not to drop them. And then there's the decorations that gotta be hung up. Some in the windows, some on the door, some go outside on the windows, others go on shrubbery, some go on the lawn. Let's not forget, we got to go out and get the Christmas tree if you don't have an artificial one. And then there's the whole ordeal of doing that. I think that all of these things can be done with the focus being on the person it's being done for. Amen? And then there's the shopping and buying the gifts, preparing the Christmas activities and dinners. It can be a wonderful thing, but it also can be a time where we're too busy. We can end up getting stressed out and burned out like Martha. And you read it with me that Martha was cumbered, verse 40 says, about much serving. And so the first point, and I only have two, and everybody said amen. I only have two of this. I mean, how many can you have? It's only four verses. Martha is a classic example of how we undertake projects for family with good intentions and then blow them out of proportion. And then we can, you know, begin to feel sorry for ourselves as well. Well, nobody noticed what I did. Martha loved Jesus. I believe that with all my heart, that she loved the Lord Jesus dearly. And I believe she would have done anything for the Lord. Her struggle came in being too busy. In wanting to do so much, she left out the best part, spending time with the person. And how sad it is that every Christmas comes and goes and people spend very little time acknowledging it's the birthday of the King. Now, was Jesus born on December 25th? I guess we'll argue that till Jesus comes back, okay? And then he'll straighten us all out, okay? I don't really care about the date as much as I care about that we observe that God became a man, that we observe the incarnation. God becomes part and parcel of his own creation. And that is why there is a beloved community we know as the Jews. Because God, being infinite and invisible, became visible and finite. And therefore he had to choose a particular people to come to become a man, to fulfill the mission of God, to reconcile lost humanity back to our Father. And Jesus took that on. No small mission. And if you ever take the time to read John chapter 17, you will know how difficult that was. That is truly Jesus' high priestly prayer when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his flesh, he prays, "O God, if this cup could be removed from me, but not my will, thy will be done." He did that for you and me. So when you think of the incarnation, think of the gift that God gave the world. A second chance, so we all would be confined to hell. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that focus is lost today. Years ago, I might have said, being lost. When I ride around and I see Christmas decorations every year, I see fewer and fewer a Christmas nativity scenes. There was a time where they were everywhere, in every community. And I do respect other religions, and we ought to. God loves everybody, and he wants them to come to Christ. But in the United States, I believe we're going to be held to a higher standard because we have declared a date to observe the incarnation. And little by little, we're erasing it from our calendar, from our communities. And I hate to say this, probably even some of our churches. Don't be too busy. Her struggle was just that. She was so busy, she wasn't enjoying the presence of Christ. The harder Martha worked, the more frustrated she became with her sister Mary. And the Bible says, and you read it with me, in verse 38, that Martha received him into her house. It was Martha, it seems to me, that opened the door and said, "Jesus, come on in." But that was it. She got back to all the busyness. And then verse 40, the Bible says, "Martha was cumbered about much serving." An interesting word study would be to look that word cumbered up in the dictionary. And in English, the word cumbered conveys the idea of harassed or burdened. But the Greek word, I won't trouble you with it because it has no counterpart in English. But it means to be driven about mentally. It is that you are stressed out mentally. You are distracted, overoccupied in your mind. And that is more accurately what was happening with Martha. Such was her mental state that she goes to the Lord in verse 40. Lord, dost thou not care? How many of us would go to Jesus and say, you don't care? How many of you would do that? That would be crazy, right? I mean, it's like, well, come on. God loves all. He cares for all. But Martha was in such a distress that she didn't even think about what she was saying. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And I'm certain that if we really had all of the facts, we'd find that Mary did her part. But once Jesus walked through that door, that was it. And then she goes, bid her therefore that she help me. The second point of the message is how Jesus answered her. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. And the way he said it, it's very endearing. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Notice Jesus. He's God. She wasn't just troubled about Mary not helping. That would just be one thing, right? Many things. So Jesus identified what her problem was. You're too busy being busy. That you're not allowing the best to be absorbed. I know a little bit about that. I've made that mistake in my own life. Sometimes you could be so busy about serving the Lord, you forget about those that God gave you, that He wants you to be a blessing too. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And then he says, but one thing is needful. Second point, one thing is needful. And that second point is to keep your focus on the main event. Keep your focus on the main thing. Let the main thing be the main thing. The one thing needed, the one thing God desires of us is that we spend time with Him. How often we get caught up in the day as soon as the alarm goes off, and instead of us stopping and just for a moment and looking up and saying, God, thank you for this day. I know we can get busy. We sometimes get up late. I was talking to my wife's cousin's husband. Didn't really know how to identify him. That sounds weird. Anyway, his name is Rich. He's actually preached here for me in the past. Rich said, sometimes I get busy and I don't do my devotions right away. But one thing I do is when I wake up, I thank God for that day. Amen. We can all do that. Keep the main thing the main thing. Thank God. And ask Him for direction for the day. And I think when you do that, God will certainly guide you to put some time aside to be with Him. And Mary did that. Mary's like, I'm sure, well, we spent all week cleaning this house. You know, we spent all day preparing the food. Jesus is here. He's the reason why we made the meal. So let's enjoy Jesus now. And Jesus said that the one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part for the best part of all of this. It wasn't that Martha was just upset about the dinner and Mary helping her were not helping her. It was much more than one thing. And isn't that what happens to us? We start with maybe one thing. And then it gets exasperated. Well, she don't care. And it gets passed on to, you know, other things. Resentment and jealousy, then anger. Next thing you know, Jesus isn't being exalted. The devil is, right? Sometimes we say, how did the devil get into the house? That's how. You invited him. Okay? Beware of that. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on that quiet time. And as we, approach Christmas, we have a lot more, as I mentioned earlier, on our schedule, which is understandable. But don't compromise your time with God. That quiet time alone with God is so important. It is that time that He empowers you. He fills your spiritual tank, as it were. You know, if we were ever going to slow down long enough to reflect on our busyness, we might be hard-pressed to identify that it is we who are our own worst enemies. Because how often, when you do take time to be with the Lord, you're happy you did it. Many people come to me and say, Pastor, I didn't want to come the prayer meeting, but, you know, I got up from the table, I pushed myself away, I dragged myself to the car, got out here in the rain and the snow, but you know what? Praise God, I'm so glad I came. Amen? God will bless you. And I know, at times serving God and carrying out His mission, it can be difficult. And even God says that in the Word. But it is the best way to know and to experience our Father through the trials and the tribulations of life. But there are times that it is important just to sit quietly at His feet and listen. And that's what Mary wanted. And Jesus said, and that which is good, that shall not be taken away from her. Keep your focus on the Lord. The psalmist said this, Psalm 37, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We all know Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're just so busy. You know, God is trying to get our attention, but we're just too busy to listen. Be still. And hear the still small voice of God. We're much like Martha. We live in a Martha world. God wants us to live in a Mary world. God wants us to have a Mary Christmas, not a Martha Christmas. Martha got so busy serving Jesus, she forgot to spend time with Him. And we can get so busy with our preparations for Christmas and the holidays and our participation in Christmas activities that we forget it's all about Jesus. Next week, when you come to church, Lord willing, that sign will once again remind us and our community Jesus is the reason for the season. And you know what? If we don't show that light, who is? A Merry Christmas means being more concerned with the Savior. A Martha Christmas means only being concerned with the earthly matters. A Merry Christmas means being concerned with the spiritual side and the spiritual treasures that Christmas offers. A Martha Christmas means only being concerned with the material, temporal things. And such is the reason for the title, Have a Merry Christmas, not a Martha Christmas. It was the very famous author C.S. Lewis, who wrote this, and I quote, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most about the next world. Amen? It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world, unquote. Wish I could take claim for that, but that came from C.S. Lewis. Hit the nail right on the head. We live in this world like this is our home, but how often have we been preached to, and the Bible is telling us that we're just pilgrims passing through. This is not our home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? Do you know him as your Savior? Well, if you do, guess what? He's preparing a home for you. That really hit me when I got saved. I didn't have much of a home that I lived in anyway back then, but when Jesus said he was preparing a home for me, I knew it had to be a whole lot better than where I came from. I remember Dr. Jack Hiles preaching on that subject. He said, my home will be different than your home. And he went through a whole litany of things. And one of the things that made me laugh, he says, when I get into my home in heaven, I'm going to walk into the kitchen. And there on the kitchen table is going to be the largest, biggest Big Mac ever for me. His wife had told him, you're never eating another Big Mac. Oh, he already had a heart problems to begin with. A man came to his pastor one time and he said, I don't know what's wrong with my life, but that first Christian joy, I've lost it. Boy, how I remember that. When I first got saved, I begged God. I can still hear myself in my prayer driving to work. And I'm begging God, please don't let me lose this joy. I've never had this. I can't even put it in words. But we can as Christians. We can get so busy being busy about nothing that there's no joy. The man confessed to his pastor that, Pastor, I do live a moral life. I do go to church and you know that, and I give to the church, but I want that joy. How can I recover that aspect of my faith? The pastor said, are you focusing on Jesus? Gave him some examples how Jesus helped the poor. And he said, what could I do to get it back? He said, I have a list here of some poor folks that need food. Would you be willing to go buy a few bags of groceries and take it to this address? He said, certainly. Guess what? That Sunday he came back. He said, I got my joy back. Amen? I got my joy back. If you've lost the joy of being a Christian, Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's not asking you to do that, but he is asking you to sacrifice enough to where you can make other people's lives more blessed than they are. And you'll get that joy back. I got to close. The whole reason for the Christmas celebration is to remember and to celebrate again the incarnation and what that means to us. And that is what we must make a very, very conscious effort to do. Because every day the world is doing everything to undermine that, to erase that. Remember that it was a perfect God who sent his perfect Son for imperfect people. The writer of Hebrews said, in being made perfect, he, Jesus, became the author and eternal salvation under all them that obey him. Have you asked Jesus to save you? And when I say that, sometimes you know, people say, oh, I've had this experience and yada, yada, yada. That's not what Jesus asked Nicodemus. Are you born again? And Nicodemus just, you know, went on about how spiritual he was. Jesus said, ye must be born again. We're born of the flesh. And Jesus talked about that. You know, we're born through the water. There's not one of us who hasn't come through the birth canal of our mother without going through the water sac. But Jesus said, that's a physical birth. You need to have a spiritual birth. You need to recognize you're a sinner. And that your spirit is dead. And a dead spirit can't live with God. It's got to be made alive. It's got to be born again. You say, well, how do I do that? It's already been done for you. What you need to do is accept it by faith. The greatest gift ever given was the gift given from a perfect God through a perfect Son, through the perfect Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me have you acknowledged Jesus died for you, rose again from the dead. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man boast. Born once, you die twice. You will die a physical death, because we're all going to die physically, but you also will die spiritually. Born twice, physical, spiritual, you only die once. And you die unto eternal life. I have to close. When Christmas is over, are you going to be physically, mentally exhausted? Or are you going to be spiritually recharged and emotionally on top? If we truly want to wish the Lord Jesus a happy birthday, then let's us give Him the gift of our heart, our time, and our lives. Trees and tinsel do not really interest Him. And so I want to encourage all of us, and this message is as much for me as it is for all of you. I want you to have a Merry Christmas, not a Martha Christmas. Let's have every head bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. And I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you want us to draw closer to you, have a more intimate relationship with you, less with the world. The world is doing more and more to cover up the truth of Christ. The world is doing more and more to bury the real meaning of Christmas, even in our own country. We say in God we trust. But if we're honest, it's even hard to say Merry Christmas in some places. Bless these dear folks. If there's one among us who's never received the greatest gift ever given, may they be born again. May they acknowledge to you right now, God, I am a sinner and I have offended your holiness. And you know there's nothing that I can do. And thank you that you did it all. That Jesus came and died for me, died in my place and rose again from the dead. And by doing so, justified me in your sight. And not only did he do it for me, but he did it for everyone in the whole world. But Father, I accept Jesus right now. And I repent of my sin. I don't want to sin. I hate sin. Oh God, take it from my life. Save me, a sinner, in Jesus' name. If you've done that, you've just received the greatest gift that you will ever be given. Father, bless our folks. May we be dismissed now with the great song of Christmas. And may it be a reminder that you want us to have joy, the joy of Christ, in Christmas. Let's take our hymn books and open to the first Christmas song of the season. Joy to the world. And we're going to do just one stanza, and I'm going to dismiss you, and I'm going to give you my blessing right from here today. Certainly don't want to get anybody my germs, okay? 194. Joy to the world.